The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Not just any Thursday. Christmas for adults.
Draft day, baby.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. Live from Bar Canada at the day. NFL draft. And boy, are we, we're overbooked, ladies and gentlemen. But by overbooked, we mean we're happily booked. Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle, he's got his NFL draft thoughts coming up, as does Tim Murray, who had a mock draft, host of VSiN Primetime. Then we'll talk some NBA and some tennis with Zach Cohen. Chris Felica, the Bear, he's got his draft thoughts, as does Cleve T.A. Looking forward to that towards the end of the show. And then we actually have to give all of our picks at the end of the show, but we can't forget to leave here without giving all of our picks.
Yeah, we'll run through all those.
Yeah, yep. We'll do all those.
The I want to make sure we lead with the breaking news off the top from your parking garage, because the crew was just laughing about that and thought that important to get out there. Yeah,
Antonio Pierce was in the car in front of me.
Yep.
And the valet came as Antonio pulled away. The valet came and I said, "Did you ask him what's going on tonight?" And he goes, "Hey, he was on the phone." I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, "Yeah, he was on the phone. Sure." He's like, "Don't bother me."
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Gil Alexander reports Antonio Pierce was on the phone this morning.
He wanted no part of the valet this morning. All right, we'll get to all of that. We got to start with two things. First, the Guardians update, and then last night in the NBA. Guardians update, not a good night for the Guardians. They get blasted by the Red Sox. They won 8 of their last 9. You're not going to win every night, I'm told. So they lose, and the Yankees win. Yankees beat the A's as expected. The Braves almost lost to the Marlins, but the Marlins, being the Marlins, couldn't quite get it done, so they won 2. So now you have all three teams with 17 wins with 5 days left. 6 days left, I should say, but 5 games left for the Guardians left in the March-April bet. Braves are 17-6. Guardians are 17-7. Yankees are 17-8. The tiebreaker again at Circa is fewest losses, followed by run differential, which, by the way, the Braves narrowed that gap as well, the second tiebreaker. But here's what it comes down to. Final game against the Red Sox today for the Guardians, then a 3-game set at Atlanta, then at Houston before the month ends. Atlanta also has 5 games left. New York has 6 games left. So New York took back the control of the own destiny last night. Here's how it breaks down. Guardians win 3 out of their next 4. Easier said than done. They got to win at Boston today, and then they got to win 2 out of 3 at Atlanta. If you can win 3 out of the next 4, we're winning this bet. But if you can't, and it is at Atlanta for that 3-game set, probably not, right? So, but if you could have taken this bet at the beginning and said, "Hey, if you came into the last 5 games and you need to win 3 out of the next 4, because if you win 3 out of the next 4, you probably don't need that last game." And the reason for that is you will have, if you take 2 of 3 from the Braves after winning today, all ifs, they play this morning against the Red Sox, day game. But if you take 2 out of 3 from the Braves after that, you effectively have boxed out the Braves, clinched. And then the Yankees still have 3 at Milwaukee and 2 at Baltimore. So they ain't getting through that unscathed. So that's the scenario. That's your Guardians update.
It's kind of cool.
65-1.
For someone standing on the sidelines, it's kind of cool that it comes down to a Braves series. Like, it kind of just comes down to where's the series at? Atlanta?
Atlanta. You know what would have been cooler?
Why aren't we booking tickets? Let's do the show on remote.
What would have been cooler is if they had won yesterday and then won today, and then you'd only have to win 1 out of 3 in Atlanta. Now you're stuck having to win 2 out of 3. That's where that stands. Last night, the National Basketball Association. Let me just state in advance that I did not have the Miami Heat on the money line. But I did kind of do a microcosm last night of what I did last year during the playoffs, which was when Miami went up 10 with over 4 minutes left in the third quarter, I texted you.
You bet them on the money line.
And I'm like, well, they're up 10 and it's a coin flip. I'll take the Heat now. Thank you very much. Which is like last summer, where I didn't have them beat the Bucks in the series, but I sure as heck had them to beat the Knicks and had them to beat the Celtics after that before saying, they're not beating Jokic. I'll stop right there. But the Miami Heat not up their best of 7 first round series against the Boston Celtics yesterday with a win that, well, I mean, on the one hand, if you make a franchise playoff record 23 threes, they were 23 of 43 from 3, 53.5%. If you're making 23 threes, the 86 Celtics aren't beating you. largely because the 86 Celtics would be like, why are you shooting so many threes? Because they didn't do that back in 1986. But 23 of 43. By the way, at halftime, the Heat had made 13 threes. They were 13 of 24, 54.2%, and they still trailed by three. And Shaq, by the way, give Shaq all the credit. Before the game, he said, Heat by 10, Heat by 10. And then at halftime, when they were down three, even after having hit 13 threes, he said, Heat are going to come back and win it. And he's right. He was right in the end. but I just want to say this again. No Jimmy Butler. No Terry Rozier, even. We should point that out as well. And what a shame this series doesn't have Butler. Because I think now people get that if the Heat did have him, they might actually be able to pull this off. Because when you make 23 threes, you can't then say, well, Miami's going to win this series. I don't know that you can make that leap. 23 threes is 23 threes. But I will say this, getting back to my hypothetical prop about the 5.5 total losses on the Celtics, I think people now understand why you can't make that prop any lower than 5.5. Because teams can pull a game out of their behind
shooting
like this.
High shooting variance like this.
And the Celtics themselves, I'm sorry, as good as they are in the regular season, everybody wanted to make them out to be the 2016-17 Warriors. You're not that. You're not going 15-1 in the playoffs. You're just not. And they have the same coaching deficit that they had last year, Mazzulla against Spoelstra. That series knotted up at one game apiece. Now, what is it, Kelly, that you wanted to say on air that you texted me last night?
Oh, it's just so much more fun sitting on the couch watching a Heat game without any action so I can actually root for the Heat, because if I bet on them or against them, Gil, you can crawl over this table and smack me right across the face, okay? Because I'm not – all the money I made this regular season, I'm not giving half of it back like I did last postseason betting against the Miami Heat. But one thing further about this game last night, I will say it is so easy to say, and we did this a lot last postseason too.
Yes, I'm glad you're making this.
They shot lights out, and oh, what are you going to do when a team shoots 53%? And that is true.
I was getting there.
But the bigger issue is what you kind of brought up, right? It's Mazzulla and the coaching mismatch, because a team should not be shooting this many wide open threes in the NBA playoffs.
This is from
15 for 23 from wide open three. What's a wide open three, you might be asking out there? The NBA statistics measure that as the nearest defender was 6 feet or more away.
6 feet away. So this is, let's give Keith Smith credit for those who aren't watching us and are listening. Keith Smith, NBA. The 23 for 43 from three, what Kelly was referring to is 15 of 23 wide open, meaning no defender was 6+ feet away, was within 6+ feet. Open, the next tier down, 4 to 6 feet away. They were 6 of 14. Tight, 2 to 4 feet. It was only 1 of 5. There's only 5 instances of that, and very tight, meaning someone was within 2 feet of the shooter. They were 1 of 1. So basically, the very tight and the tight together, 2 of 6, and the open and wide open, 21 of 37.
It's absurd. I mean, so, 37 shots. I don't care what NBA team you're playing. You like 37 basically wide open 3-point shots?
So, yeah, here you go, Tyler Hero. Here you go, Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't matter who's shooting the ball at that point. If you're gonna, and it was a nightmare. You're watching, you know, pick screens that are just not being played properly, and guys are wide open, and guys getting caught up in traffic. And there was no adjustment. There was basically no adjustment throughout the entire game. It's easy because I wanted to make that clear, Gil, because we often, you and I think are more level-headed than most, and when it's shooting variance happens. And when you get high, you know, this ridiculous percentage from three, it's easy to just say that's the only reason they won the game. But they shot that well for a reason, and it was the coaching mismatch.
That's right. It was the coaching mismatch.
And if the Celtics have a problem, I mean, we'll keep saying, I think the Celtics team is ridiculously loaded, and it all comes down to three people at the end: Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the head coach. Who's going to screw this up? And I will say it that way, Gil. They have to screw this up to not get the NBA Finals.
I'm about to say this sentence because I know Steve Fezzik hates it when I say it. And the Heat steal home court advantage away from the Celtics. He hates it because I think he thinks they need to consolidate the serve first before you're allowed to say that, which I disagree with. Because when you break in tennis, you break. The consolidation is the next part.
this is like, this is, I was thinking about this on the drive it too. What is the mental, like, what's the mindset of the Boston Celtics now? Like, you've rolled into game one and game two with, I'm 14 point favorites. We're so good. We're one of the best regular season teams in history. Let's blow past this team. And all of a sudden, just like that, right, Gil? Just like that. It's this series.
Don't look now. Yeah.
This series is tied one apiece, going back to Miami, who now has home court advantage in a best of five series, and they are living rent free, as we keep saying, in the Bucks' heads, the Celtics' heads, and the 76ers' heads.
Can you imagine if I lose that bet with Samish because the Heat beat him? And they get the four games. That's all the Celtics are going to
lose. That was the example I kept bringing up. That'd be the funniest one. Yeah,
that'd be great. I'd love to lose that way. The other one, you all got right. Meaning you all, meaning the NBA experts, which is the Thunder just had a trainer game in game one. They crushed the Pelicans last night, take a 2-0 lead in that best of seven series. Tonight, I don't know how we're supposed to concentrate on these during the NFL draft, which is going to be all NFL draft coming up here after the break. But the Cavs and Magic for game three, Cavs up 2-0, Magic favored by 2, Sixers favored by 5. They try to get off the schneid against the Knicks. And then the Nuggets are now 1-point dogs against the Lakers in game three as the Lakers try to get the first win of that series for them, down 2-0. Any play on any of these?
Yeah, looking forward to talking to Zach more about these games. I don't have much going right now. If I wasn't invested in the Mavericks series price, I probably would be in on that side game three tonight. Just don't love it as much as I have in other spots. I'll probably be playing some Luka alt overs on his points now that they are back home. Minnesota Phoenix, can't wait to watch. Phoenix hoping they take one, so my series over bet has some life.
Mavericks tomorrow night, no?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make clear. We'll get Kelly on board. We're coming back. Matt Brown on the draft next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the NFL draft tonight, and it is a big exclusive night here at VSiN. VSiN's exclusive coverage starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with VSiN primetime host Tim Murray, who will be on the show a little later. Jonathan Montobel, special guest Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr., as they dive deep into the draft prospects and predictions. And then stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern, where former NFL exec Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of all the first-round picks. Michael will give his thoughts on every draft pick and trade as they happen. Watch the special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page, and then cap off the night. We're not done yet. 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they will wrap up all the first-round action. Find all your NFL draft betting insights at VSiN.com/draft. Sitting here texting with Drew Dinsick before the show, largely because, and by the way, thanks to everybody who's also tweeting about apparently the Washington Commodores have finally retired Daryl Green's number, 28, a long time coming. Nobody has worn 28. In that franchise since, but they finally retired it today, and they surprised him with it. But he was saying the only thing he's sure of right now, he thinks Jaden Daniels 2 is probably going to happen, but it's probably still a little mispriced, that it's like minus 1,000 it shouldn't be, basically. And the real big buzz of the morning, and what he thinks he knows now, is New England seems to be locked in on JJ. Whether that's at 3 or a trade down becomes the issue, right? Well, one last thing on the NBA before we get to Matt. You wanted to clarify. I'm sorry.
Well, you want to go through the games quickly that are actually happening today? Magic Cavs. Nothing for me on that one, unless this total keeps creeping up. I'm kind of surprised it's moved a few points towards the over. I might come in on the under if that's the case. Sixers, Knicks, same kind of thing. I'm just riding out my Sixers futures. Hopefully they can pick up a win back at home. Nuggets, Lakers. I think I might end up on the Nuggets side. I'm wondering how much of a mental blow that was to the Lakers in game
two. Cancun.
Yeah.
Don't worry about messing up the schedule. I had Xander Schauffele's wife as pregnant yesterday, so we all make mistakes.
Yesterday I was a mess. I was a mess yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the co-host of The Handle here, weekends, 12 noon Eastern at the network, VSiN. He's our old primetime action co-host as well. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Matty? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Doing great, fellas. It's finally here. We don't have to speculate anymore on who may or may not have been rude to somebody at an Applebee's one time, and like now he's undraftable and all these things. So it's like, yes, we can finally get this done.
All right. Well, let's start at the top. Do you believe Jaden Daniels? Well, we know Caleb Williams is going one. Do you believe Jaden Daniels is going to Washington at two?
Yeah, I mean, it's if we're going like upside stuff, I think at this point it seems like everything is pointing toward Daniels going number two, and I think that's the right pick if you're Washington, right? I know that's what you want as well. It's just as a fan, but if you look at as far as the upside goes, I mean, this is a guy that really did progress a lot over the course of a year, and he took it really, really seriously. He went out, he put in the work, he got where he was more comfortable in the pocket. He always had the legs, he always had the big arm. It was just making bad decisions, and I think that this is a guy that you really too could be looking at as your quarterback for a decade there, Gil.
And then I'm pumped about it. I really want it to happen. I really do. But then of course comes the third pick. What happened there? What's going to happen there? Like, what do you think?
I'm just not buying in to anything other than it being Drake May, and I could be mistaken. Obviously, I'm going to be mistaken a lot tonight whenever this thing goes down. But it just to me, you look, and this is the consensus number two guy for the vast majority of the season. Then you have Daniels play his way into kind of that number two spot. But I don't know why you're going to punish a guy like Drake May because he just didn't have any talent around him at all, right? I mean, he was the consensus number two guy heading into the season because of the season he had 2 years ago, in which he had some players around him, and then he didn't have any players. And yeah, his stats fell off just a little bit, but the profile that all of the scouts, again, we say this all the time when we talk about all this, but I'm not a talent evaluator. I'm going off of these guys that are talent evaluators. And there was no reason to believe that Drake May is anything other than the guy that, you know, came into this year as the consensus number two pick. And so I'm still standing there that it's going to be him, but I'm ready to be shocked. I'll put it that way.
Okay. We have a bevy of your picks, by the way. I think yes. Bevy is the technical term for this.
Yes. A plethora.
A cornucopia of picks. I just want to cherry pick a couple, and then I'll let you go to whichever ones you want to sort of drill down on. But under 6.5 wideouts. Tell me why.
I am real big on it. So this is my biggest position. So guys, if 7 wideouts go in the first round, you might not hear from me for like 48 hours or something like
that. You remember that guy, Matt Brown?
Yeah, I got a couch for you, brother.
Yeah, this is one of those. This is the pivotal kind of bet for me in this one. It's mainly because you have the 3 no doubters. You have the 4th, which is pretty assumed, Brian Thomas. And then from there, it's just like a pretty big drop off to that second tier of guys. And that second tier of guys is just a really big second tier of guys. And so for me, if you look, and if it's a whole bunch of dudes, and honestly, I don't think guys like Puka Nacua and all that have really helped the second tier of guys, where you've seen guys that have been able to contribute early on,
right,
that you find in the second round, third round, fourth round, and stuff like that. And so if you're not getting one of these super elite dudes, I think you have these teams that are going to opt to go offensive line, which is kind of the correlated bet on which I have, which is the over offensive lineman under wide receivers. And Gil, we say this all the time. We've been saying this for years and years and years. Look, Pro Football Focus is not the end all be all. I will say this. However, if you go and you look at their offensive lineman grades, the guys that grade out well are all first rounders and second rounders, right? And then you go and you look at the guys that are grayed out poorly, and it's the guys that they had to use, that teams have had to use as fill-ins and backups that ended up playing a ton of time and all that. And it's all these dudes that go in the 4th and 5th and 6th round. And it's, there's just not a lot. It's like there's depth at offensive line, but it falls off a cliff once you get outside of those guys that are elite. And I think that you just have these teams that say, we can probably get a wide receiver to contribute in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th round. We probably can't get an offensive lineman that contributes at a high level whenever we get into the 2nd, 3rd, 4th round, stuff like that. And so for me, and it's probably just like at the end of the day, there's just not a lot of whole lot of 6'6", 330 pound dudes that can like block freaks of nature, you know, like Joey Bosa and stuff coming off the corner. Like, it's just hard to do. And so I think that those teams are going to look and say, I can get a guy that is pretty similarly rated on my board pretty easily in the 2nd and 3rd round. And I'm not going to wait. I say waste, but I'm not going to use my first round pick on that. I'm going to use my first round pick on one of these positions that's a little bit more scarce.
I'll actually let you go to the next one because you may have more to say about any one of these than others. Where would you like to hone in on here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple I made early on that are just losers already. Like, I bet Terry and Arnold would be the first defensive player. I thought maybe a corner could end up catching a little bit of steam in this draft. That just ended up not happening. So that's just a loser right off of the bat. The other one that I'm still kind of standing firm on is the whole J.J. McCarthy over 5.5.
Yeah.
it got to a point where everyone was just assuming this trade was going to happen, It balloons up to plus 175 that he's going to go over, you know, the fifth pick, like over 5.5. Once it got to that, I just took a stance. Like, I'm like, okay, we are literally doing this off of air. We're doing this off of nothing tangible, nothing but just rumors and assuming that Minnesota loves JJ McCarthy, but we have heard nothing of the sort, right? We've heard nothing about Minnesota loving JJ McCarthy. And so with that, over 5.5 for me, and look, they very well might make that trade, but if I was them, I'd be calling these teams bluff, right? I would just call their bluff. You know, all these, you know, 4 doesn't need a quarterback. You know, 5 doesn't need a quarterback. You know, 6 doesn't need a quarterback. 7, 8, 9, like all these teams don't need quarterbacks. I'd call their bluff and wait and see if I could do it for less of an expense. And so I like the over 5.5 on JJ McCarthy pretty good. The other one that I'm pretty in on is that I think is fairly interesting. So Roma Dunze, if you pick him to go exactly 8, it's like plus 600, plus 650 or something like that. But then you can play the over 8.5 at plus money as well. So if he goes 6 to the Giants, I'm going to lose this bet. I lose it all, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Neighbors still probably goes to the Giants at 6. And so you kind of have a bet, you, in my opinion, that you can't lose because you have him going 6-1, 6.5-1 to go 8 overall. And if he doesn't, then the over 8.5 cashes for you at plus money. That's still available out there if people want to go that direction as well. And the other one that I think is just at least interesting for us to talk through is Cincinnati first position drafted, where everyone just, again, just assumes that they're going to take an offensive lineman, but they kind of have a little bit of a luxury here. And I put a little bit on them to take a defensive lineman, a little bit on them to take a wide receiver. I think there is a non-zero chance if Brian Thomas is still available at 18, whenever they roll around, that with the T. Higgins situation and knowing he's going to be out of town, you know, at the end of next year, because they cannot pay him and Chase both. So like this is T. Higgins last year in Cincinnati. And so it wouldn't surprise with much success as they've had with giving Burrow weapons if they didn't pull the trigger and do Brian Thomas as well. So I threw a little bit on defensive lineman and wide receiver for Cincinnati. Both of those are big plus money bets.
Matt, if we distilled it to one sentence, and not to say you can't overcome this, but your success or failure in this will come down to, will there be a bevy of trades or none at all, right? Somewhere in that calculus, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And like, honestly, the wide receiver thing is the crux of all this, right? I mean, like, if teams at the end get wild and start taking some of these wide receivers, it's going to be a very, very bad night for me. That's for sure.
Good luck, man. We'll keep an eye on the wideout thing because, you know, we all have couches for you just in case.
Yeah, that's great. I'll need it.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Brown, everybody, at Matt Brown M2, of course. Co-host of The Handle here at VSiN. Tim Murray on The Draft next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter in today's version.
Oh, we've got everything set for tonight for the NFL draft. Mock drafts ready to go up on the website. Everything you need to know in our special, special coverage tonight for the NFL draft in detail for you.
Well done. It's almost as if you didn't actually look at the newsletter. You just riffed that. But I don't know.
I got it right in front of me, Gil. Okay. I got it right in front of me.
Turn your laptop around. Let me see. Right, no, I'm kidding.
It might have taken 10 seconds for me to find it, but yeah.
Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, that's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and we always appreciate it. Forrest Lehman. Missoula, by the way, he says, was the fourth choice, just missing out as a finalist in Coach of the Year betting, FYI. By the way, that gives us entree to say congratulations to everybody who had Tyrese Maxey.
Hey, that's
me. Most improved player and Naz Reid for sixth man of the year. Congratulations to all. Jason Weingarten hitting a 60-1 on Naz. He didn't even remember he had the bet.
Yeah, he didn't have it. I think Dinsick hit on Naz too. I think he had an earlier in the season one.
Congratulations to everybody. Yeah. Good for you for sticking with it. Maxey got through for you in the end.
Thanks.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he did. I think he did too. I agree with both the voting results so far. I know they've been tight. I think it's I love the ballots.
Super
I've seen so far.
Tight.
They've been very tight. I think that's fair. But I agree with both winners so far, and I'm mad at myself, especially us on. I will not forget that Friday, the last Friday of the regular season, Gil, for I don't know how long, when we sat here talking about final awards odds, and we both looked at the screen and thought the graphic was wrong on the sixth man of the year.
Yes, we did.
Because we're like, how did Nas go back to +225?
I said it out loud. I said, what happened?
Should have bet it.
Tyrese beats Kobe White by 14 total votes, 319-305. And Nas wins by 10 total votes.
And that was, they were tied third place votes, tied second place votes, 2-vote difference in
first
place.
Over Malik Monk.
Yes.
2 first place votes. That's it. Unbelievable. But I think you're right. I think the right person got it. By the way, this is also, by the way, people wonder, why do you read all these tweets? Because they help us remember to say stuff we forgot to say already. So that we appreciate that from Forrest Lehman. Numbers guys. Hi, Gil. Semi-tennis guy here. Consolidating the serve is that holding serve after breaking someone. Take me to tennis school before I head to the draft in downtown Detroit. Oh, good for you going to the draft itself. Yes. Consolidating the serve is holding your serve after breaking the other person's serve. David Stone, one offshore book for to be a top five pick does not have J.J. McCarthy listed. Interesting. Weird. Paul Zhang. No All Angles podcast for the draft? He was wondering for Matt Brown. Remember, after the football season, he says All Angles becomes No Angles. Las Vegas 514. Oh, everybody tweeting in about Daryl Green for me. I really appreciate it. I went to the only time I've ever been to the Hall of Fame ceremony, Kelly, 2008. Daryl Green and the great Art Monk were inducted. He says, yo, no disrespect to the great Daryl Green, but can we retire the number 66 for the great Joe Jacoby? If he can't get in the Hall of Fame, we can at least retire his 66. Just saying, absolutely. There's a DMV-focused tweet there for you. Chris Hartman, Gil, after quarterbacking the talentless Tar Heels, Drake May is the perfect quarterback for the equally talentless New England Patriots. Whatever happened to taking a 10-year offensive lineman with a questionable quarterback prospect? Not only that, but like whoever, I've said this now for the last few weeks, if New England takes McCarthy, if they take Drake May, that dude is in the worst situation possible. Worst situation possible. You're not good. That's why I think that Marvin Harrison scenario at 3 is not outlandish. I really, if cooler heads prevail, if they didn't get an offer they wanted and he was staring them in the face again, what was CJ Stroud's line? Don't be dumb. Take him.
I'm not feeling as confident about it over the past 24 hours, but I still think there's a possibility.
Kelly,
I'm not upset we made the bets.
We don't know a damn thing. Vegas Vice. Daniel Jeremiah. Oh, I'm glad I brought up this too. Daniel Jeremiah says San Diego. He means Los Angeles, but we understand.
we've done that before.
We'll take J.C. Latham at 5. Understand that Harbaugh wants a good offensive line. But if Neighbors or Adunze is available, why would they pass up the opportunity to get a premier wide receiver so that they would have some receivers for Herbert? Well, I'm a guy who has Joe Alt going number 5 at +475 to the Chargers. Because Vegas Vice, Harbaugh has openly said he wants to have a cornerstone of the franchise from the beginning, an offensive lineman cornerstone. And so for me, that was always Joe Alt. I think for most people, the consensus was that Joe Alt was always the guy from Notre Dame. Just by the way, a monster of a human being with a baby face, Joe Alt. But now, so yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah did his final mock draft. And I think this is a point that needs to be made because bets are made aggressively after this, right? So Daniel Jeremiah, probably the best draft guru over the last 4 or 5 years. I think we all agree with that. And I think Daniel Jeremiah, now I haven't spoken with Daniel Jeremiah, but I'm just speculating. So he has stopped, he would have to answer everybody's individual calls for interviews. And so finally he decided this year he's going to do a conference call kind of thing. I don't know if he started that last year or this year. So he doesn't have to answer everybody individually. But the other thing is he waited last year till the end too. He does his mock draft. And then people see the list of who his mock draft is. So at number 5, correct, Vegas Vice, he had the Chargers taking J.C. Latham out of Alabama. J.C. Latham is now +275, the short shot, to be the 5th pick overall, shorter than Alt. But I just want to make this point about Jeremiah's draft. He is very clear to say that the way he does his mock draft is he just is really matching players to teams. and filling needs in that way, he doesn't necessarily view it the way that bettors who are locked into specific markets, oh, this person is going to be this exact pick in the draft. Jeremiah is very quick to say that they could very easily trade down and pick J.C. Latham as well. So everybody racing to bet J.C. Latham as the fifth pick overall, I'm not sure Jeremiah means it quite literally. If you listen to his language is not really necessarily in a predictive manner. Like we talk about stuff from other people who like legitimately like the Mel Kuypers of the world, right? This guy's going to be the fifth pick. This guy's going to be the sixth pick. Jeremiah's is a little more vague.
Yeah.
And so I just think that point needs to be made because everybody then immediately piled on the Latham picks yesterday.
I mean, that was part of the reason. I mean, kind of that, you know, kind of the same thing is why we got that dip in price on Jaden Daniels number two, right? Jeremiah had, he had Drake May number two, but then also came out right afterward and was very open about, he's like, look, I have him as number two, but I'm hearing right. from enough league people that it's going to be, it's probably going to be Daniels number two.
And once he capitulated on that, then the Daniels number started to soar again.
So I think it really is fascinating. At number five, I forgot who tweeted that in. I mean, look, I'm on Neighbors. I think that makes a lot of sense, too. I texted Gil this morning, though. We are both aware that a trade could easily happen at fifth and we get burned. What would really suck for the two of us, considering Gil has Joe Alt and I have Malik Neighbors, is that if it was actually J.C. Latham number five, because that is not really a scenario I suck
at. That would not be good.
Yeah.
We get more tweets at Beating the Book. Disc Golfer. Oh, he plays disc golf. You ever seen guys do that?
Yeah. I went out one time.
Did you really?
So bad. I can't throw a frisbee.
I can't either.
Like, that's... screw playing golf or, like, trying to get it into a basket thing or whatever. Yeah. Like, I couldn't throw it straight to you from 3 feet away.
You know what else I can't do? It's a big admission I'm about to make. Can't blow a bubble with gum. Can't do it.
I can do that one.
Disc golfer. Wow, Daniels.
We all got our things.
Well, yes, we do. Well, Daniels, minus 1,000 to go second now. I should have bet him when Schefter said you could pencil him in, but it threw me off because the line didn't shift at all after he said that. Well, disc golfer, if he had listened to us on Friday morning, I gave a pretty passionate speech as to why I thought all of that was bunk. Jaden Daniels should go number two, master of puppets. He says the draft is here. After last year of too many losing bets, there is one play and one play only for me, and that is Daniels to your... He says Commanders. I don't know who that is. I think he means the Commodes. Minus 250, minus 115, minus 160. So let's go. There you go. And then Forrest Lehman wants to say shout out to JVT for recommending Nas for six man back in November and December. Nabbed him at 25-1. Nas!
I don't think me or JVT is feeling very smart today because I don't think he had any piece. I don't know for sure, but I don't think he had any piece of Nas. But man, I think between the two of us, we got a lot of tweets thanking us for Nas Reed advice. And I'm like, I never made the bet. I wish I did.
I got a tweet thanking me for a tennis bet the other day, and I was like, that wasn't me. I wish it was. It's probably Zach. And then Zach's like, that wasn't me either. but the Nas Reed thing was interesting because I got a lot saying whoever you had on the show who said Nas 60-1 back in November, December, thank him. And I'm like, well, Jason had him at 60-1, but I don't think Jason came on the show and talked about it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because Jason even admitted 2 weeks ago, he's like, I forgot I had it.
Right. In classic Jason fashion, yeah. It was, I found this ticket, by the way.
Him and Preston had bet it, I think, a long time ago.
The other thing I wanted to mention quick just about, Drew and Andy, Deep Dive Podcast, bring it up all the time. I thought Andy had a great, said it well to Andy Mulder, was talking about just how much of this, with the betting movement that we're seeing this year, is just kind of bettors betting into markets and betting against each other and chasing steam.
I 100% agree.
I think it's a great point. Because I don't know about you, I don't know how many bets I've made where it's like, make a bet and it moves 40 cents. Like, there's a lot of movement off a small action. Yeah,
and when we go over ours at the end of the show, I'll go into all my thinking on each of them. And yeah, I'm like, at first there was conviction, and then it's just like, well, you're making me bet this now because y'all dropped the price. Zach Cohen, NBA, tennis on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here in downtown Las Vegas at the D. Bar Cannon, everybody. I just want to read this one tweet from Z Free. He goes, great. So now after repeatedly yelling break at my phone when I'm betting a tennis match, I now have to follow that up repeatedly yelling consolidate. I'm like, yes. If I had a dime for every time, I'm like, now consolidate the serve. You have to
hold on. Wait, hold on. I wasn't paying attention before. Okay, so like consolidate the break?
Because someone was asked, because I said like Fezzik. Here's how it started. Okay, let's review the show. Because I know you weren't present for part of it. So what happened earlier is I said Fezzik hates it when I say things like, not just me, he hates it when anybody says, the Heat beat the Celtics to steal home court advantage from the Celtics. And I think he hates that because he, in his brain, and you know his brain, he believes you have to then hold court, hold serve, if you will. I related to tennis back at your home court twice before you really stole the serve. And what I said is that's not how it is in tennis. You can break somebody. You're not required to consolidate before someone says you actually broke it. So now because I said consolidate, everybody's tweeting it like, wait, what's consolidate? So that's how it happened.
Meaning you have to win the service game after you after.
Yeah, you have to you break. That's an actual break.
And then when your
and then
game.
When you hold your serve after that, if you hold your you've serve. Consolidated the serve.
And now, but and you, now but that, I know. I don't want to say now we know. Now I know. God. Don't worry, guys. We're going to review it again in 45
God
more minutes.
Bless America. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the senior writer and editor at VSiN.com. He's our own Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X is where you can find him on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Now he joins us. Zach, great to see you, man. How you doing?
Good to see you. It's funny you just mentioned the break and consolidate stuff, because when I give my casual friends, you know, fans, tennis, like, picks, they'll yell at me when someone gets broken, and I'll be like, oh, you know, they can get it back pretty easily on clay.
Let me start this real quick, because I was about to hit a season high. Ana Bogdan had a match point, and I was about to hit a season high in units won, and then she gacked the match point. I lost that match. And now I've had I haven't won. I was 0-2 yesterday, and I may be following it up. I don't know. We'll see if I split today or not. But essentially, like right from the peak where I was like 1 point away from the peak, now I've given a few back. How are you doing in Madrid?
I'm doing really well over the last few weeks in general, Madrid included. I'm at my season high. I'm up almost about 30 units now. Just been a really good run of form over the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, feeling really good about the clay court season so far.
What do you got today?
I have, as part of the second leg of my parlay, but the line has now gotten a little bit lower to the point that I think that people can play it on its own. I have Joao Fonseca, money line against Alex Mickelson. Mickelson, a really good young American, someone to keep an eye on over the next couple of years, because American tennis isn't, you know, always the most trustworthy thing in the world, but he is an exciting player. But he's a power player, doesn't really move that well, kind of has one speed to his game. You know, he's a big server, big powerful player from the baseline. Fonseca, you know, a really natural player on clay courts, kind of has the raw power as well to match Mickelson. But this is a kid that was supposed to go to Virginia to play some college tennis this year, but he had such a good clay court season before we got back on hard courts earlier in the year in the Golden Swing that he decided to pursue a professional career earlier than expected. But really, really good clay court player, really fun to watch. I kind of think there's some Sinner to him. Not, you know, he doesn't have the upside of Sinner, but just the kind of like the raw talent he has from the baseline, has the ability to kind of hit the top spin you need on clay. And I think that his return game is going to give Mickelson some trouble today.
Yeah, we've went on Fonseca this year. João Fonseca, Kelly. He's Brazilian. That's J-O-A-O Fonseca, F-O-N-S-E-C-A, for those who want a tail. What's the other one?
Roberto Carballos Baena, money line against Dominic Koepfer. This is Carballos Baena's home tournament. He's another one where it's a natural clay court player. He's won twice as many matches on clay as Koepfer has played in his whole career. So quite a difference in experience on this surface. And Carballos Baena, just a really good defensive player. Koepfer is a guy that likes to hit winners, but it's going to be harder on these slower courts. It is faster for a clay court tournament in Madrid because of the altitude, but it's still going to be a little bit easier for Carvajal Baena to play defense. And also, you know, Kepfer holds at 80% on hard courts. It's kind of one of the bread and butters of his game. Only 67% on clay. And Carvajal Baena, a really solid returner on clay. So I do think he gets it done. I think he's probably the better player between these two on clay to begin with. But you add in the fact that he's playing at home, has a little bit of momentum and adrenaline. I think that's going to help him win.
Okay, that's about a I'll give the prices here. You tell me. So it's about -152 on Fonseca, -168 on Carvajal Baena. Okay.
I got Carvajal Baena at -145. That's where I wrote it up yesterday at VSiN. So hopefully people got it earlier. But
yeah,
I do think I'd play it still at that number. It's a little juicy, but do think he's going to win.
Okay, you would play it at that number. Okay. NFL draft. You only have one bet in the NFL draft. What is it?
I have the over on 6.5 wide receivers going in the first round. And it's you can get it at like +250 odds. It seems like a really fun bet to follow. I haven't done as much work as like I would like to for the NFL draft. But I do think that from what I've seen in mock drafts, you know, and everything, I do think that you're seeing 7-8 receivers in almost every single mock draft you see in the first round. I think that there's 6 guys that are clearly going to go in the first round, but I think that there's, you know, a bucket of like 8 to 10 that have a chance to go into the first round. It all it takes is one team to fall in love with one of those guys and reach on them. You know, you hear the smoke of, you know, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina going to Carolina with the first pick in the second round. If someone wants him, they're going to have to jump him to get him. But I do think that there are a few other receivers that have a chance to go at the end.
So that's you and Kelly versus Drew and Matt in the wide receivers prop, correct?
That is correct. Okay. I believe our next guest has a bet in that market as well.
To break the tie.
Yeah.
All right, we look forward to that. Okay, let's get to the NBA. Obviously, last night, the Pelicans took the 2-0 lead over, the Thunder took the 2-0 lead over the Pelicans in their best of 7 series with a massive 124-92 win, which was every bit as big of a victory as that appears to be on the screen. And then the Heat, the headliner before that, out of nowhere, some would say, big double-digit, 14.5-point dogs against the Celtics, win it outright by 10 on the strength of 23 made threes out of 43 attempts. What do you like today?
I like the Magic money line against the Cavaliers in this game. I think that the Cavaliers are probably still going to win this series, but I do think it'll be in 6 or 7. In 7. I think that Orlando is just a much better team at home. I think, you know, during the regular season, +7.8 net rating when playing at home, -3.6 on the road. Their defense is always good, but the defense is special when playing in Orlando, and the offense is about league average when they do play in Orlando. It's, you know, 115.5. offensive rating. That's what would have been 15th during the regular season if you looked at all the teams in the league playing on, you know, all courts. So I do think that the Magic are going to play a little bit better offensively in this game. It's helpful that Jalen Suggs' knee injury doesn't seem like it's going to hold him out. But I do think this is Orlando team is really young. They're playing, you know, 2 really tough games and rough road atmospheres in Cleveland. I just think they're going to bounce back with, you know, kind of knowing what they to expect from playoff basketball and just playing, you know, role players play better at home. So I think that's you hear that all the time throughout the playoffs. But I do think this is going to be a spot where you really see it.
Yeah, that Suggs injury looked terrible. I can't believe he's back and playing already. What about the Sixers and the Knicks? What about the Nuggets and the Lakers?
For Nuggets and the Lakers, I'm going over 216.5 on that game. I know that the first 2 games have been low scoring. The first game went under, but it did have 217 points. That would have been good for an over tonight. And I do think that, you know, a total on game 1, 227, total on game 2, 224. This seems like a serious overcorrection, you know, 216.5 for game 3. And I do think that, you know, you have to kind of play the over when you see a number like this. I do think that, you know, they're looking at an entire season's worth of data when they make those game 1 lines. So to go to game 3 with a, you know, a total 10 points higher, 10 points lower than game 1, I think you have to take the over.
All right, rapid fire to close here, Zach. Can I interest you on a Sixers adjusted series price at north of $3?
I do think the Sixers are going to get these next 2 at home. So I think this series is going to get a lot closer.
Clippers Mavericks, who wins the series, knotted up at 1 game apiece?
I'll go Mavericks.
Same question for the Bucks and the Pacers.
Bucks. I think the Giannis is going to come back and they're going to win that series.
Can I interest you in adjusted series price on the Suns down 2-0?
Zach's Suns.
I wish I could say otherwise. I don't think the Suns are coming back.
Oh, that's your team. I didn't know that was your team.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how, and the final series tally of the Celtics Heat series will be who beats who, how many games to how many games?
Celtics win it 4-2.
Celtics win it 4-2. Okay. They'll win it on Miami's home court in game 6. All right, and then the NBA Finals is still the Celtics and the Nuggets to you? Yes?
Yeah, I think so. I think Nuggets over Celtics.
All right. Zach Cohen. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for letting the dogs out, by the way. People could only have heard those dogs bark. Oh, see, as soon as I said it, the dogs barking. They're back. I can't believe we got through that. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Oh, that's the...
I think it's the fake dog noise in the back.
We'll come back. More NFL draft on the other side. Wall to wall. Numbers game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.